Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The topic of today's podcast is called Get Ready for the Inflapression. Christine Lagarde raised interest rates by 50 basis points last week, and Mr. Powell decided to raise the Fed funds rate by 25 basis points today. And to keep quantitative tightening program at its current pace. I think it's hysterically funny that both the Fed and the ECB both contend that they can fight inflation while also ensuring financial stability. Such a contention reeks of manure, so much that only a dung beetle could endure it. It was once possible to have both, financial stability and low inflation, but not when interest rates have been raised from a nominal negative level to 3.5% in 9 months, in a 9 months time frame, as is the case in Europe, and when those negative nominal rates were set in place for the past 6 years. It is a similar dynamic with the Fed, which raised rates from 0% to around 5% within 1 year. In fact, the Fed has maintained a zero interest rate policy for 10 out of the last 14 years. And when you get paid to borrow money, it naturally causes a massive accrual of new debt. Years worth of free money always leads to financial instability because it engenders an over-leveraged economy. The global economy has become so debt-disabled that it can only be adequately serviced while money remains virtually free. But central bankers can only provide a ridiculously negative real interest rate for borrowing new money into existence while inflation is quiescent, which is absolutely no longer the case. In my 2012 book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse, I predicted that the then current environment of perpetual disinflation would eventually end, and intractable inflation would be the result of years and years worth of reckless fiscal and monetary policies. After all, inflation results when the market loses confidence in the purchasing power of a fiat currency. And sometimes that confidence just takes a long time to break, especially when that fiat paper is the world's reserve currency. Inflation always breeds chaos, and there is no better way to produce inflation than to deploy helicopter money. The pandemic-related helicopter money used by the government was sufficient to destroy confidence in the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. Therefore, the Fed now needs to fight inflation by raising rates and reducing the base money supply. However, because we have so much debt in the system and asset bubbles have become so large and integral to GDP growth, the level of interest rates and destruction of money supply that is necessary, that is needed to beat inflation will also lead to a substantial economic crash. Hence, the fiscal and monetary authorities will be choosing between inflation and depression and producing both at different times, and maybe eventually ending up with both conditions existing simultaneously. What I call an inflapression. That is what happens when inflation runs hyper and real GDP growth plunges. If anyone ever doubted that the U.S. and its central bank would soon have to give up its flaccid fight against inflation and produce intractable inflation once again, just look at what has transpired in the past 2 weeks. On the one-year anniversary of the first rate hike of the United States Central Bank, the viability of the entire financial system has come into question. It's been impugned. Three U.S. banks went belly up, and several major European banks were moved to death row. Right on cue, the Fed's balance sheet rose $300 billion last week thanks to the Bank Term Funding Program, which is a one-year lending program at a 4.6% rate, a maximum of 1 year. So it's not quite QE. I call it QE light. QE is when you print up money and say, here it is, go out and spend a bunch of money, banks. I'm never going to ask for this money back again. But this is a loan for now. Banks can take their troubled assets and dump them on the Fed at full value, regardless of their condition. The Fed and the FDIC also have virtually guaranteed $9 trillion of uninsured deposits with a blink of an eye. In fact, the Fed is really guaranteeing all deposits, including the ones supposedly FDIC insured, because the government doesn't have the tax base or the fiscal means to stand behind the FDIC. So the Fed would end up printing that money as well. But the actions taken to date have not stopped banks from swirling down the bowl. First Republic Bank will now receive a $30 billion lifeline from a group of America's largest banks, including J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, and Truist. First Republic Bank is a commercial bank that is not concentrated in crypto and technology investment lending, like SVB. But the bank does tend to cater to businesses and wealthy individuals who have a large uninsured deposits. Wall Street wants you to believe that the banking crisis has been completely ring-fenced. I love that word, ring-fenced. That's what they said in 2007, too. Ring-fenced, yeah. While the Fed's Bank Term Funding Program may be able to temporarily stabilize the financial system, it has merely created a bunch of zombie lending institutions. The already strained financial system can't extend credit anything close to what they were doing even a couple of weeks ago. And we don't even have the recession hit yet. We haven't even had the recession hit yet. In fact, the Atlanta Fed has Q1 GDP growth at over 3%. Yeah, I'll take the under on that one. As a reminder for what is killing the banking sector, the removal of liquidity and reserves as a result of the QT program, that's continuing. A deposit flight that was caused when banks decided to pay next to nothing on the short-term money deposits while Treasury bills paid 5%. Nothing has changed here. And banks' assets, their loans, have been under pressure and you ain't seen nothing yet. Just wait until the economy really turns south. The Fed raised rates so high and so fast that when it naturally caused Treasury prices to plunge and yields to soar, it also caused financial institutions to become insolvent. But these same rate hikes that caused the world's quote-unquote safest asset class to crater in price must have also somehow negatively affected collateralized loan obligations, commercial mortgage-backed securities, residential mortgage-backed securities, junk bonds, derivatives, and all the other loans to consumers and businesses that are under stress and pressure right now. These other assets should be the next to falter. Then the shadow banking system, pension funds, hedge funds, private equity funds, investment banks, they're going to get into trouble. And then finally, the credit markets will freeze. It will only be at that point in which we get a genuine Fed pivot back towards ZERP and QE. But the market's probably going to go down 30% between then and now. And I don't want any part of that. And neither do you. Remember, banks were already tightening lending standards aggressively before Silicon Valley, Silvergate, and Signature Banks failed. Now that recession fears abound, banks will be taking much less risk. In fact, the regulators will see to it that they do. Just imagine what will happen to the economy when the profitless two-thirds of the companies in the Russell 3000 cannot raise cheap credit any longer and have to close their doors and lay off their employees. Sadly, our great country has lost its foundation that was built on freedom. First, the government removed God from its laws and its moral fabric. Now it is seeking to completely dismantle the American family. We are losing any semblance of individual freedom and personal responsibility and have abrogated the free operation of markets completely. That's gone. What to do about it? We have no choice but to continue to dynamically invest around the machinations of these freedom-hating power mongers. As they cause the economy to repeatedly swing between the macroeconomic cycles of inflation and depression.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.